I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. The tale of political turmoil in Ivory Coast took another turn today. Alassane Ouattara, the opposition leader, widely seen as the winner of November's presidential election, but the incumbent, Laurent Gbagbo, continues to cling to power. Well, today Ouattara called on West African Special Forces to remove Gbagbo in a commando raid. Meanwhile, the UN says that more than 200 people have been killed in post-election violence, and some 22,000 have fled the country. Most have sought refuge in neighboring Liberia, a country that only recently emerged from its own civil war. Jess Engebretson has more.
Shortly after Ivory Coast's election, Marie Della began getting panicked calls from her family in Abidjan. They told her that supporters of the incumbent President Laurent Gbagbo and of his opponent, Alassane Ouattara, were beating and murdering civilians. Della's family warned her that the violence might spread to villages like hers. Soon, it did. She says the supporters of both Gbagbo and Ouattara started harassing people in the village. They beat people in their homes. We got scared because we didn't know what would happen next. So Della fled. She set off on foot with her extended family, 6 children and 10 adults, mostly women. They walked for 2 days through the forest, until they reached a small Liberian village of about 30 mud brick huts. A farmer there named Saturday Waii took them all in. And when more Ivorians straggled out of the forest over the next few weeks, Waii took them in as well. He gave them food, water, and a place to sleep.
It started from the 5th of December. About 16 different groups. Some groups are 2, and some are single, some are 3, 4, 5, and some are 6.
By the end of the month, Waii was sheltering 35 people on the dirt floor of his hut. He says it's hard to find food for everyone. But during Liberia's civil war, many in this area fled to Ivory Coast. Waii says there's a sense along the border that when violence comes, you help those in need, and they'll do the same for you.
We are suffering because human beings, we are one.
We're suffering with them, he says. We're all human beings. So even the small things will be shared, always. Waii's 35 houseguests are just a few of the more than 22,000 Ivorian refugees now taking shelter with Liberians. The UN's refugee agency has provided some supplies, sleeping mats, blankets, jerry cans, kerosene, and soap. And aid groups have set up shop to check on the health of the refugee children.
Sickness. No.
Alan Kroma is with Liberia's Refugee Repatriation and Resettlement Commission. He says that villages like this one are struggling to cope with so many new mouths to feed. So the Liberian government has decided to begin building an official refugee camp here, reversing an earlier decision.
Initially, we did not want to be seen as opening camp.
Kroma says building a camp could potentially antagonize the Ivorian government. And it's expensive, he says. You don't want to open a camp if people only need it for a few days.
Because if you open camp and the situation stabilizes, they will have to go back home. Now we are convinced that it's not one of those things that somebody can make a quick decision to go back home.
Marie Della, the Ivorian refugee, says going back to Ivory Coast now would be too risky. As she nurses her youngest child, she says she's grateful for Waii's kindness. She calls him her stranger father. Still, she yearns to go home. Nowhere is better than home, she says. So I can only pray that the crisis going on in Ivory Coast will not continue, and that the suffering will not continue. Saturday Waii is also praying for an end to the conflict. Until then, he says he'll share meals with his 35 guests, as long as his stores last. For The World, I'm Jess Engebretson, Logotuo, Liberia.